Our second segment today for Squawk 1200 is with Steve Widener and Jim Ullman, both from the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. And they're here to talk to us about, you know, the supply situation for air traffic controllers. So for both of you, gentlemen, welcome. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
In much the same way, last hour we were talking about how to fill the pipeline for pilots. Not same, but similar issues are in play for driving the demand for controllers. Supply is not quite keeping up with that, is it?
No, it certainly hasn't been. You know, we're at an all-time low of certified professional controllers at our ATC facilities, and the agency, and we have not hit hiring goals over the last few years. And there's a lot of things involved in that, including the sequestration, problem getting medical certificates and security clearances with a large number of applicants. Then there was the issue with the CTI students when they changed their hiring practices. So we are certainly short of controllers, the lowest we've been in 27 years.
Is this a regional issue or is it nationwide?
It's a national issue. Some facilities, of course, are certainly worse staffed than the others. And the high volume facilities like the New York TRACONs, the Chicago TRACONs, are certainly something that we're keeping a really close eye on, and those facilities you could argue are hurting worse than some others. A lot of that is because of the amount of airplanes and the commercial traffic that they work.
And Steve, talk to me about how you're dealing with this on a daily basis. I mean, are the changes in duty times, or you still have a specific duty days and this just makes the problem worse?
Well, you know, your normal duty week is 5 days a week or of 8-hour days or 4 10-hour days or however you want to divide it up. But a 40-hour work week, well, with the staffing shortage that we have, a lot of our controllers are being forced to work 6-day work weeks, 10 hours a day. And ultimately that leads to, you know, it's fine in the short term, but it ultimately leads to fatigue issues, and that's just not good. And it's not sustainable in the long term.
So when, as you deal with trying to boost the pipeline, what are the kinds of things that you think, if there's like one thing that could solve the problem, what would the one thing be?
Ooh, I wish it was that simple, quite honestly. I think we have to have qualified candidates. That's the number one goal. The numbers that we're looking at, we have to have the agency meet their hiring goals for the next 5 years. The agency has not hit those goals for the last 7 years, and we're seeing those repercussions now. On the average, it takes, I would say, depending on which facility you're being signed to when you graduate to Oklahoma State Academy, anywhere from a year, year and a half to 3 years before you're a certified professional controller. So this is one of the things you have to get on the front end of. You know, it's going to be hard to catch up, but the Oklahoma State Academy can only run through about 1,800 students a year. So looking at the numbers that we have right now, for instance, we're at the lowest level of CPCs we've ever been, at 10,667. We also have 2,915 of those who are eligible to retire today. So you're talking about over 25% of the workforce of an all-time low that could walk away today.
What's the retirement age or eligibility?
It's 25 years any age, right?
Yep, or 20 years at age 50.
Yeah.
Frame this up for our audience, if you would. How many controllers are you forecasting that you need?
Well, I think...
Say in the next 12 months.
I mean, we need 1,800 a year. That's what we need. The Oklahoma State Academy needs to be at maximum capacity, running through 1,800 students per year, because there's going to be attrition. Even at the Oklahoma State Academy, you're going to have some people that are not going to qualify. They're going to be screened out. Then they are assigned to their facility, and you have another percentage of those controllers or developmentalists who are not ever going to be certified, right? This job is certainly not for everyone. So you're going to have attrition even with the developmentals.
So if you look at the patterns that are most common as people come into the Oklahoma City School, how much and what kinds of prior education are you seeing that sort of you would consider to be factors for success?
Well, I mean, there's really three different pools of developmentals you can draw from. One would be military controllers. Then you have the students who've gone through a certified training institute, CTI school, with a degree in air traffic control. And then you have what we call off-the-street hires. So what we're looking for is we've been very clear with the agency. Where they come from is not overly important to us. What we can tell you is that we want people who want to do this job. We want qualified individuals who want to become air traffic controllers. Where they come from for us sitting as certified professional controllers who've been working for years, it makes no difference to us.
And Steve, just from a pure, you know, public relations, marketing, support, what's NACA doing to try to, you know, promote the opportunities?
We're out there in all kinds of areas trying to promote. I mean, through social media, through publishing of the job vacancies that are there when the agency opens one up. We've done a lot of work also with Congress on attempting to have them pass legislation that gives the agency some guidance and on streamlining their process. And we were very successful with that in the recent FAA extension that was just passed. There was language inserted in there that streamlined the process for hiring. And that's a big deal for us, and it's a big deal for the National Airspace System and staffing it properly.
We're talking with Steve Widener and with Jim Ullman, both from the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, about the challenges of filling the pipeline for new air traffic controllers. What kinds of things are you doing this week at AirVenture to try to help get the word out and encourage folks to look with an open mind and a positive attitude about, yes, you too can be an air traffic controller?
Well, we started KidVenture. We started them young. We're trying to get them involved young, and KidVenture has been a huge success for us, as you guys know. It's been, we start there. We have a lot of information available at the NACA booth. We have we brought in 20 or 25 air traffic controllers who are here on their off time, on their annual leave, on their vacation, to answer questions. And we've had a slew of individuals coming who are CTI students who are asking about getting hired, young 15, 16-year-old individuals who come and ask about being hired. We tell them all about the profession, what an exciting profession it is, what a great career it is, and how much it's really enjoyable for us to see these younger generation being involved in anything having to do with aviation. So we really, really enjoy talking to the younger groups and explain to them what our job's like, what the hours are like, how long the training is, where you might be assigned. It's pretty exciting discussions.
How do they apply? How do they get started?
USA Jobs is the only site that you can apply on.
So you create an account on USA Jobs and then search for air traffic controller.
That's correct. What we are hearing right now, there's not a bid for new students right now. What we're hearing is, with the recent passing of FAA reauthorization, that this should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So something that's going to be happening very, very soon. And I encourage everyone who's interested to apply on that website.
Do you have a sense that there's like a pent-up demand of people who are waiting for the bid to open?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Especially the CTI graduates. There is a large number of those who, when they changed the rules for hiring a couple of years ago, and they no longer gave the CTI students the priority.
What does CTI mean?
I don't even know what the acronym is. They've trained at one of 22 FAA-approved colleges and have a degree, either a 2 or 4-year degree at 22 of these universities, and that is it's a CTI.
College Training Initiative.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I was going to say that CTI is just another TLA, right? A 3-letter acronym.
That's right. That's right. Acronym overload. Yeah, so in the recent reauthorization, there's a couple of things that they've done to streamline that. We had quite a few individuals who aged out, right? You have to be under 30 years old to be hired. A qualified CTI student now can be hired up to the age of 35. That's a big change, right? There are people out there, there's no doubt about it. Exactly how many, I'm not sure, but I think we have plenty of qualified candidates. The last bid that we had last year, 28,000 people. 28,000
people. For 1,800 spots.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
And talk to me about a person that's selected. They go through training, they've approved, but do they get to work in the facility of their choice, or is that a competitive bidder situation?
Well, let me tell you the way it is right now. So when you're hired by the FAA, they put you in one track. Either you're going to be in the in-route environment or you're going to be in the terminal environment, which would be your towers and your tracons. You then go to the Oklahoma City Academy for a course that lasts roughly 4 months. And the agency has a list of facilities that is assigned to each class. No one knows what they are. They rotate on a basis of each classroom is different. And whoever graduates highest out of that class gets to look at this list of facilities and pick which facility they want to go to. Now, there are certainly people that have to go to places they really don't want to. That's a fact. I tell them one thing. go to that facility, get certified in that facility, and then worry about living where you want to live. It's a very, very important thing that we have to tell these, get certified.
And so what you're saying is once you get in and you get started, you have some opportunities to move about.
Absolutely. We've just recently entered into an agreement with the FAA working at the ability to move controllers from facility to facility. We've put in some benchmarks in the facility so we don't take too many from one and give to another. But especially in the terminal environment, in the in-route environment, you're generally, you may move to another center. A lot of people don't. In the terminal environment, you're hired at a lower level VFR facility, and your goal is to move up steadily from anywhere from an ATC 4 to an ATC 12 facility, start at a VFR tower, move to a mid-range tower, and eventually work with the high velocity facilities, high volume facilities. Yeah.
Steve, is there anything else you would like our audience to know?
Yeah. It's a great job. It's one of the best in the world. You'll enjoy every minute of it. It has its frustrations, but overall, you'll absolutely love it. It's a great career.
So go into detail about that. What is it that you really love about what it is that you're doing?
It's never the same every single day. It's something different. There's a unique challenge to it. You know, controllers will joke sometimes, yeah, I've seen this problem before. But the reality is it never gets old. You know, you experience something different every day. What, you know, it could be an emergency, it could be an unusual weather event, it could be anything like that. But it's always challenging, and the satisfaction that you get that you're helping people get safely from point A to point B as expeditiously as you can is a thrill like no other.
Thanks for being here, gentlemen. We've been speaking with Steve Widener and Jim Allman of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. This is Squawk 1200 on EAA Radio.